Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Once again, welcome here to our show. Hey, quick shout out, make sure to our sponsors here. Make sure you check out American Homeowners Preservation. You can check out their website, fundingahp.com. If you want to be able to take as little as $100, if not more, be able to leverage that to create great passive streams of income now, monthly, get monthly passive streams of income, and help people either stay in their homes or refinance and be able to help alleviate their burden, that's exactly what American Homeowners Preservation does. And so check out their website, fundingahp.com, and see if you can make some great returns while making a great difference in people's lives. Also, check out our website, moneyripples.com, as well. Hey, today I want to talk about leverage, the power of leverage. And this really comes up because I actually have a talk, you know, that speech or whatever you want to call it. I'm teaching on stage about this very concept. And as I was thinking about leverage, because that was the thing that was most impactful for a lot of people here, just learning about leverage. Even those that have been in business a while, even those that aren't in business, you know, leverage is something that I think we all want, we all desire, but we just never know. You know, give you an example. I mean, when I first started as a financial advisor, this is back, you know, 15 plus years ago, my belief is that, you know, if I wanted to make the most money possible, I did it myself. I did everything myself. You know, I remember I would try to do everything from insurance to security investments, you know, like mutual funds, things like that. I would do mortgages. So I got mortgage license. So I had license in all these different areas. I even did a little bit of debt pay down programs and all kinds of stuff, right? I mean, so I was doing all these things and I was working my tail off, but I wasn't making a ton of money. And it's not that I couldn't have made a ton of money, because obviously if I knew now what I, or knew then what I know now, of course I probably would have done way better. But I was new in business. I was, you know, and the thing that is the scarcity drove me to thinking that the best and most effective way to create more money was to do it myself and to become kind of like the one-stop shop guy. And I'm here to tell you that that was one of the most destructive things, because the big epiphany for me was I was about April of 2006. This is just after I quit being a financial advisor. You know, I had the aha. I started to really understand that there's an abundant world, that there are more possibilities, that you can have your cake and eat it too, that it's not about an either or world, that you can have everything that you want. And the one thing that came to my mind was when my friend said, "Hey, so what are you doing right now?" It's like, "Well, I'm doing mortgages, and I'm kind of teaching ballroom dance on the side. I'm not getting paid for it, but I'm volunteering, teaching one of the dance teams there. And I think I'd eventually want to start teaching that, you know, more seriously." He's like, "Well, if money were no issue, what would you spend your time doing?" And everybody, I want you to really ponder on that question too, because this was essential for me. He said, "If money were no issue, what would you spend your time doing?" Now, up to that point, money had always been an issue, right? And maybe this is just like for you guys as well. Money's always had always been an issue. And so I thought, well, I don't know. And I thought of the very thing. And I noticed when people answer this, usually it's whatever they don't have in the moment. That's typically what they'll say. So the first thing I said is, "Well, I guess I'd travel more." Yeah, that sounds good. I'll travel more. And he looked at me disbelievingly saying, "Okay, Chris, come on. Okay, what about the other 45 weeks out of the year? That's sure, maybe you'll do that for 7-8 weeks out of the year. But what about the other 40 plus weeks out of the year? What are you going to do? Spend your time doing?" And I never thought of that question before. I thought, well, I don't know. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll teach ballroom dancing. You know, maybe that's what I would do. You know, because I had a huge passion for that. And he said, "Okay, cool. All right, now we're getting somewhere." He's like, "Okay, what are you doing now?" I'm like, "Well, I'm doing mortgages and things like that." He's like, "Well, do you like doing mortgages?" And I said, well, you know, I like teaching about it. And I've loved some of the things I've learned lately about leveraging that. But, you know, honestly, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, I guess I'm just not a huge fan of dealing with underwriting and dealing with paperwork and having them call me at all hours trying to ask me how it's going with underwriting. He said, well, Chris, why don't you find somebody who does like doing that? And that idea, even though that idea crossed my mind several times over those previous 4 years that I'd been in business, it never really hit me and struck me as true until that moment. And I thought, you know, you're right. I should. And I'm like, well, do you have any suggestions? He's like, yeah, I actually know some people that would be good people to talk to. And so I talked to the owner of a mortgage company that I was looking to get into, you know, hanging my license with anyways at that time. And the owner said, you know what? I know somebody really good fit for you. You know, someone who actually is really good at that. He's not the greatest marketer, so to speak. He doesn't sell himself great, but he does a great job. And I said, that sounds like the guy for me. And so I met that guy and I found out that guy was decent. Like, he had good integrity. He did a good job. And so I made the deal. I said, hey, if I basically teach these people, you know, help them with mortgages, for example, right? You know, if I help teach them about the mortgages and get them to the point where they already know what they want, you just have to do the paperwork. They're already pretty much sold on it. Would you pay me 50%? And the guy said, well, yeah, of course. You know, like, yeah, if they're ready to go, like, I'm just doing the paperwork. You're doing all the front end type stuff. And I do the, you know, back end and underwriting. Yeah, I'll do it. And so he did. And what's amazing is, I'll tell you, like, when I was doing it myself, one, I thought I had to discount my services. That was one problem. That was one reason I wasn't making as much money as I could have, because I thought, well, I have to be the cheapest guy out there. Again, living that scarcity world, right? So I thought, like, my value would be, hey, how can I be so cheap? But that wasn't the case. In fact, the case was, no, like, I can get paid the standard rate of everybody else, you know, like the standard origination fee of 1%. And so that guy, even though I cut my fees back to maybe 0.5%, that guy would charge 1%, which means that I would basically get paid the same amount of money I would have if I did the mortgage myself. But instead, I spent about a half hour or so teaching the people about the mortgage and about what to do. And then when they were sold on it, they're like, hey, let's do this. Who should I talk to? I say, great, talk to this guy. And because I was licensed in that profession, I was able to even split the deal. And so that became kind of a business stream of income. I mean, now people call that affiliate relationships today. For me, I was just, you know, finding good referrals, good people to connect people with. And so I was becoming a connector, right? And so that was the beginning of what was creating great leverage in my life. And that I realized, wow, if I can do it here, where else can I do this? What other business owners do I send referrals to that I could ask them for whatever the fee might be? And some of them would only pay me, you know, 5%. You know, I'd have a jeweler pay me 5%, for example. But there'd be people occasionally that would mention that they're going to get engaged or married or buy a gift for their spouse or their significant other. And I'd say, hey, if you want to find a great, like, wholesale jeweler that's appointment only, you should go check out these guys. They're exclusive, but they're like a third of the cost you'd pay in a normal mall or store, jewelry store that you go to. And I hook them up. So it'd be a huge value add for them. And it'd be great for me because I'd get a nice little check of, like, you know, maybe 50 or 100 bucks or something like that. And that's how it all began for me. That's when leverage became big. And so I want to talk about, for you in your life, like, where leverage can be key, because you can't keep killing yourself, you know, to try to thrive or prosper, you know, and you don't have to. In fact, the only difference between you and the ultra wealthy is that they figured out how to leverage better than you have. That's it. And yeah, sure, there's some mindset stuff too, and belief levels and expectations and things like that, that they just expect you to do it. I'll tell you that the more successful I've become, the more I raise the bar on what I see as being reasonable or what I expect to be even like a normal, you know, month or a normal year for me. As that bar raises, so does my income. Everything raises with it, you know? So yes, there is that mental game too, but I'm talking more about the strategy behind it. The strategy behind that mental game is you've got to create leverage. And that leverage comes from three key areas. It comes from programs, processes, and people. Programs, processes, and people. I'll just keep it easy with three P's. So programs, processes, and people. Programs, what do I mean? Now, I mentioned this on our show last week when I talked about programs. This is something where this could be where you create something that has leverage. You know, I love, you know, creating online type programs, things that are digital, things that are accessible. You know, even in my own coaching, I had to create a program. This is part of the process too, But in my own coaching and consulting, I realized that people would ask the same questions over and over. And I felt like I had to keep teaching the same things over and over. I realized that if I'm teaching the same thing over and over, I need to make that digital. I need to make that available that doesn't require me to do it, where they can listen to it when I'm sleeping at 2 a.m. or whenever they decide to listen to it, that I don't have to be there teaching it over and over and over. If I'm teaching the same thing over and over and over, it needs to be put out there. This is actually why I started doing podcasting back in 2008, was because I thought, hey, let's take the frequently asked questions and turn them into shows, turn them into episodes, so audio recordings. So then when people say, hey, I've got a question about this, rather than me spending 10, 15, 20 plus minutes on that subject, so say, hey, listen to this show, right? Creates leverage. You know, that's the program, for example. Of course, I could even take these. I mean, these are free for and available for you guys, but I could take these and go and sell them. I could package these, take some of my best episodes, package them into a program and say, great, here you go. I'll sell this to you for $20 or $25 or whatever, or $50 or $100, depending on the value that's in them. And those could be, seriously, like that could be my show. This, who knows, this very episode could be the very thing that I end up selling in the package. And you might be listening to it now because it's in a package. You know, that's the beautiful thing with creating programs. And so it's nice when I had to keep teaching something over and over to be able to duplicate that. Now, it doesn't have to be audio. It could be video. And some of you, video could be the best thing. I mean, especially if you're kind of more charismatic or people, they almost insist on seeing you. For me, like my voice has been the thing for a lot of people. Like mine kind of becomes the voice of reason or the voice of trust, you know, for people. But, you know, it could be anything. And so if it's voice, then great. Yeah, audio recordings are wonderful. If it's video, you know, or if it's visual, then video can be great, you know, or it can be the written word. I know some people, they're so eloquent when they do the written word. They may not be as eloquent speaking. In fact, you might even be disappointed if you hear some people speak that are great writers. You'll say, wow, I can't wait to hear them speak. And then you hear them speak, you're like, wow, that, yeah. Okay, tell me when you're writing your next book. You know, so there's that too. I mean, there's all kinds of things you do. Like I personally don't do a whole lot with the written word, even though I have those, just like I don't do a whole lot with video, even though I have some of those too. But that's the key. I mean, so my clients, that when they get an audio program, they teach the same six lessons, all the time. And I'll even tell them like, hey, you know what, for this subject we're covering next time, here, listen to this audio. So they come prepared. They're like, hey, cool. I got the basic foundation. My whole goal when I do an appointment with my clients is let's clarify, answer any questions, and then figure out how to implement and act on it. So then I'll have to go and teach all that stuff again. They already know it. They already had their ahas before that time. And all I have to do is clarify and then help them implement. And it made my time on my appointments way smaller. I could shorten my processes. In fact, right now I'm trying to create a lower price process that I can do with like three meetings, two or three meetings even. And actually have created it by now. It's just been awesome because some people don't need that much coaching. It's just like, hey, here's some quick ways to take action. Boom, you're done. Leverages my time and it leverages them to get results in less time too. So that's what I mean by processes or by programs. I guess I should just tie that in with processes. You know, processes is how you go about doing things. You know, how do you go about creating or doing a certain way? And so like, for example, the process I created, like I had those audios created before for my clients. However, some of them, you know, I had them broken up into three sections and they were long. Some of them were like an hour and a half to 2 hours long or so, you know, like on average about 2 hours or more per section. And so I had clients that said, hey, Chris, can you shorten it up a bit? Like I'm kind of ADD, you know, can you make it shorter? And so I did. That's why I made it into six lessons that were averaging about, and I even shortened the time frame of how I taught it. I taught it more succinctly. And now it's like an average, like 35 minutes per lesson. So that's it. Like they basically 35 minutes of education, then boom, you know, we're on to our meeting, you know? So there was a process I had to go there, but I had to create that process. You know, even the process of how I go about getting people results, I've developed that over years. I mean, really, I've been coaching this kind of stuff for about 11 years now, from this perspective, this is a more abundant perspective, this is a perspective of leverage and creating cash flow and things like that. And you can definitely bet that I've had to hone in and develop those processes over time. You know, even like how I get them started. I have a welcome email from my clients that gets them started. Like, here's your first action items. Here you go. Here's the things you need to have, tools. Make sure you do this and this and this. Rather than me having to always teach it, here it is. You know, there's a process there. You know, even though I can customize it to them, I still have a typical process they all go through to ensure they get good results. For example, like when I coach people, especially if they do my full game plan process, like I'll have them, you know, after I address the cash flow and the big overall picture, you know, after we deal with the money leaks and the cash flow, I'm going to how to protect them. Now, sometimes I'll flip it around. I'll go about how to, you know, start creating more money, right? How to increase your income, whether it be in your business or in your investments or whatever. But I've learned through time that whenever I just skip that and I ignore the protection part, something bad happens, you know? And so that's where I've realized that I put the protection in the middle. And that's funny because that's the part where people kind of get a little bit discouraged. They start meeting with more of my team. They're like, oh boy, like it's, I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of the forest. I can't see through the trees. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how everybody feels. And yeah, it's the least sexy part of what I teach. But I do that because I've learned that they get the best results. Because when they have their defense in place before we do a good offense, it's amazing how they end up getting faster and better results, and they keep the money they make. You know, it's just part of the process. Now, have I created ways to make it even better and more efficient and faster? Yeah, of course, that's taken time. But processes make it easier. Even recently, I've started to do a kind of a side project with a lot of people that are, you know, high income earners with jobs or even their businesses, and they're looking to do more with investing, but they want to create money in two places at once, you know, how to leverage life insurance and things like that. I've been doing that last few months and having a ton of fun. In fact, I'll probably do an episode on that in the near future. But I'll tell you, like, same thing there. Like, I realized that my time was getting consumed quickly, especially as there were so many people coming my way. And so I had to create more of a process. And I realized, like, okay, we got to get the webinar out there. So again, we had a program in a sense. We had a webinar we did that taught the education. If they haven't watched that webinar, I invite them to watch the webinar before we have our first conversation, because that answers most of the questions anyways. So I start them there. And then from that point, then we can start talking about, all right, you know, let's answer some questions. Answer questions. Great. Now I hand them off. And this is where it leads to the third P, which is people. I had to start hiring a person to be a contractor. I found someone who was great at processing and doing like application work and things like that. And so I knew it was a great investment. I didn't care if it cost me money. It was worth the investment to be able to hire someone to do that. And the wonderful thing is, like, I'm now freed up my time to make more money, to teach more and do more of what I love anyways. And just like I mentioned in that earlier example with having people there, you know, be able to leverage their abilities. Yeah, I make less, but ultimately I make more because those people are in place, allow me to do what I do best, to play and stay in my strengths. And as I stay in my strengths, then I can get top compensation. That's what, and not to mention more energy in doing what I love. And I'll tell you, like, with the things I've done lately with that recent project, I don't think I've ever had more passion, more fun in my business since then, just because of all of the things I've been doing there. And especially became more fun when I got the right people in place to help support me. You know, so when I surround myself with the right team of people, it helps. Now I'll tell you, like, I used to have a virtual assistant. Currently, as of the recording of this episode, I don't anymore. I haven't had one for 2 years. But that's because part of that leverage, and I think this is almost a bonus for you, is I got rid of unproductive activities or activities that really weren't my forte, weren't my focus. You know, for example, I realized that my podcast is one of my biggest drivers in my business. So I channel things through that. I channel through that because I know I can develop a relationship with you. I can talk to you. I can teach you. And then if you feel if I'm the right person for you, you'll reach out to me. And that's been working like wonders, because the nice thing is that if you're not for me, you won't care. You won't listen. You won't act. Or maybe it's just not the right timing, and eventually becomes the right timing down the road. And I love that ability to create that leverage. It means that I don't have to talk to every single person. In fact, I'm talking to all of you, creating that leverage by creating a big audience. And then from there, you guys actually hand select yourselves whether you feel you're ready for me or not, you know? And that's what's changed my entire business. And that's why even with this recent project I've had to create more leverage with, and it's been going crazy gangbusters busy. In fact, I actually already am having my biggest years in business already because of this leverage, but I'm still not working over 40 hours a week. I'm still like about 30 hours a week, if that. And I'll tell you, like, creating that kind of leverage where you can create more with less, that's the whole reason we want to do things. I think we as humans are actually geared and meant to become creators where we can create leverage. This is why we invented the wheel, fire, electricity. This is why we have the assembly line. This is why we have everything. Assembly line's a great process, right? We created all these things, the internet, that all these technologies and tools are here to help us develop and grow more. And there's so many ways to leverage, but I just say that this is focus on programs, processes, and peoples, and then figure out how to take your profits. And this would, I guess, be a fourth P, take your profits and then leverage that to create more passive residual streams of income, like I mentioned on our last show. So anyways, guys, leverage is the key to freedom. Focus on it, go after it, and make it a great and prosperous week. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.